Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 26, verse 27. For this cause, backing up to verse 25, God gave them up unto vile affections, as God turned them over to their own lusts. Then he goes on to describe these vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet, or which was fitting to their vile affections. We began looking at these verses last week. Subject, of course, is homosexuality, and we just see the advancement of sin throughout Romans chapter 1. You can apply it to individuals. I believe mostly it applies to what becomes of a society or nation once God just lifts his restraining hand. There's a lot said, of course, today upon the subject of homosexuality. A lot of lies being told in order to sell it to the public. Sadly, many have bought it, and if not most. And those who have not bought it are scared to death to say anything because they don't want to be labeled a bigot or whatever. But the scriptures are very clear upon the subject. We're not to hate the sinner. We're to love them enough to pray for them. God would get a hold of them. But we are to hate the sin. And there is a fine line there. And it's an easy line to cross. And we have to be careful in that regard. But again, having said that, the Bible is very clear upon the subject. First of all, he starts off with giving his description. This is by way of review of homosexuality. Verse 26, he calls it vile affections. A man may say of another man, but we are in love. But it's vile. Perhaps they do have an affection toward one another. We're not going to argue that point. But it's vile. There's something wrong with that. And that's where Paul begins. Because a lot of them get upset. Well, you're saying our love isn't real. That's not the issue. It's vile. If it is real, it's vile. It's vile affections. Then he goes on, and we spend some time on this because it's so important. It's unnatural. There's nothing normal about it. There's nothing natural about it. It is unnatural and it is willful. It is an unnatural exchange for the natural. Again, he expresses this a couple times in a couple different ways. In verse 26, their women did change. They did this. They did this willfully. They did change the natural use. So there is a natural use. They did change the natural use into that which is against nature, or against that which is natural. We see also in verse 27, it's repeated, this time applying to the man, leaving, again, that's willful, leaving the natural use of the woman. Jude verse 7, speaking upon the same subject, going after strange flesh. Strange meaning unnatural. It's not the norm. Now, when a society, when the unnatural becomes the norm in a society, or is accepted or looked at as a norm, you've got a serious problem. And that's where we are today. And that's why there is such an effort made to get people to see this as natural. But it's not natural. It's not natural. And it doesn't matter who it is. Could be your child, could be your grandchild, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's unnatural. And it's vile. He goes on. Again, the question is, what is natural? Well, the natural use of the woman. Leviticus, we pointed this out last week. Leviticus 18:22, mankind with womankind. That's natural. Leviticus 20 verse 13, mankind with a woman. That's natural. But what we're talking about is unnatural. We have to, if that foundation is removed, if that foundation is weakened in someone's mind, they're well on their way to accepting it. Because if it's natural, why wouldn't you accept it? It's not natural. There's nothing about it that is natural. Then we closed last week. Another danger is all sin is the same. No, it's not. No, it's not. You do not put murder. Our courts don't even believe. They never have. That all transgressions are the same. That's why you have varying degrees of sentencing, because they're not all the same. Murder and stealing are not the same thing. They're not the same. And you could go on and on. And how foolish it is to say, well, homosexuality is just the same as any other sin. What that does is it creates a tolerance. These people have an agenda, and they are accomplishing their agenda, and that is to accept, to tolerate, to look at it as normal. We're no different than you. I find that quite offensive. So, if all sin was the same to God, why does he differentiate it in Scripture? Why does he mention adultery, fornication, stealing? Why is it characterized all through Scripture? You read down in verses 29 through 31 of Romans chapter 1, and you have a list of sins. Well, if it's all the same, why not just say sin and leave it at that? Because it's not all the same. It has many different characterizations. All sins are not equal in God's eyes. Now, having said that, that in no way means or implies that there is such a thing as a little sin. No sin can be little in the eyes of an all-holy God. So it's not a matter of little sins, big sins. There are no little sins. All sin is big in God's eyes. But it's not all the same. And it's not all equal. Notice Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13, verse 13. There's varying degrees of sin also. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Exceedingly. Not all sin's the same. Here it was exceedingly. Not all sin is to the same degree. Here it is, again, exceedingly. Notice in Ezekiel, chapter 16, book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, verses 51 and 52. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins. So again, there's degrees. But thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. Thou also, which hast judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sins that thou hast committed, more abominable than they. More abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou. Yea, be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame, in that thou hast justified thy sisters. There's a lot in those verses. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is doing the speaking. We'll begin reading with verse 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. He's telling them that the people of Chorazin and Bethsaida are more wicked than Tyre and Sidon. And he goes further. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted in heaven, that is, they've been blessed beyond measure, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee, speaking of all the works of Christ done in Capernaum, had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. In other words, they were more wicked. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. You cannot, based on Scripture, say that all sin is the same. It's not. Not all sin is equal in God's eye. John chapter 19, verse 11. John chapter 19, verse 11. Jesus answered, speaking to Pilate, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. If all sin is the same, how can one sin be greater than another? It's not all the same. And when we come to homosexuality, it's not the same, because it has been classified by Scripture as an unnatural sin. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Homosexuality, we have to understand also. Again, it's not equal. It's not natural. But you also have to understand, because this is the push, it's not a race of people. It's a behavior. Big difference. There is an all-out push today that the public be convinced that homosexuality and lesbianism is the result of birth. Well, if that's so, then it's a race. And as far as the government is concerned, if it's a race, they have certain entitlements. They have certain entitlements, and that's why you're put in the classification of a bigot or a racist. It has nothing to do with race. It's behavior. And it's a behavior that affects all races. So, and this is how Paul presents it. He presents it as a behavior. Well, I can't help it. But you can. But you can. Notice, again in Romans 1, we brought this out last week, you have 26 and 27, you have the words change. That's a behavior. Leaving, going after. In Jude, verse 7, it's going after. But all three of those words, change, leaving, going after, that's not a race. That's not a race of people. That's a behavior. And it's a vile behavior. And it's an unnatural behavior. And again, they're willful behaviors. And everywhere you see it in Scripture, it's willful behavior. Now, God's people, when they think of homosexuality, our minds go to Sodom. Sodom, of course, was guilty of that behavior. That wasn't the only wicked behavior going on in Sodom. There was a lot of wicked behaviors going on in Sodom. But it was one of them. And again, it was very willful, and they were extremely bold. You don't have to go back very far in our history where we'll call it the homosexual movement. There was not a boldness about it. That's why you hear coming out of the closet. It was something that people hid. But now they're very bold. And this is how it was in Sodom, which we're going to see. There's a boldness about it. And that's why today, you can see it in public. I mean, it's probably been a few months. I saw two women kiss in Birch Run. In the mire, right in the aisle. They're very bold. Why did they do that? Because they're hoping that somebody like me, it almost worked, is going to say something. Notice Genesis 19. Genesis 19. We'll begin reading with verse 4. Again, we have to be careful. I say, speaking to myself, because you can become so disgusted with a behavior that you find yourself hating the individual. And we're not to do that. It's hard not to sometimes. But we can't cross that line. We just need to pray, Lord, help them. But Genesis 19, verse 4, but before they laid down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which are come in unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. That's not speaking of just getting acquainted. They almost beat down the door of Lot. That's how aggressive they were. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. You know how you do. You step out the door and you shut the door. That's what he did because these people were aggressive. And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters. And this I can't grasp. But I have two. But it tells us something about the unnatural and the natural. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and ye do to them as is good in your eyes. I can't imagine saying something like that. But again, I believe the purpose of this is to show, again, natural and unnatural. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore they came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with him. They're upset with Lot because he's standing in their way. Sound familiar? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break down the door. There's a strong, aggressive desire. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place. And goes on into the judgment that was coming. But what we learn from that passage of Scripture, and also we see it in Judges, which we'll look at next week. We've run out of time. How aggressive. Once this sin grows, people become very bold. They dare you to say something. They're just daring you to say something. They're hoping you will. They're hoping you will. And the result is we become a bit intimidated by it. And I was at a parade, I just mentioned briefly, in Chicago a couple years ago, 4th of July. I told my son, he said, we're going to go to the parade. I said, well, that's fine. I said, if they have homosexual floats, just know this, I'm not going to keep silent. And sure enough, it was three church groups that had these floats. They were at the end of the parade. Here they come. People start clapping. And I just started quoting scripture, loud enough for them to hear, saying, repent. There was a policeman about where that wall is. He come walking toward, and I thought, uh-oh. But I just kept on. And all he did was just stood in front of me. That's all he did. Didn't say a word to me about what I was saying, and I wasn't being rude or unkind. I was just quoting scripture. But what got me that day was all the people that applauded. This was wonderful. And when I started quoting scripture, it was like the Red Sea parting. I mean, people... Now, it would have been wrong for me to throw something at them. That's wrong. But there's nothing wrong with quoting scripture. That's what they need to hear. Because I believe God can take the Word of God and convict them. But God help us. And I believe we all probably are to some degree. God help us not to be intimidated by the sins of our times. But when it's time, we have to speak out. Do it in the right way. But they have to know. God help us to do that. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for the clarity of your word, how plainly it's written. We just pray, Lord, that you would cause us to learn from it each and every day. Cause us to be the people that you would have us to be. Cause us, Lord, to behave in a way that would bring honor and glory to your name. We just pray that you'd be with us today in a special way. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.